Lord's richest blessings to you as we celebrate this Monday, Thursday of Holy Week. The epistle reading assigned for this evening is from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner he also took the cup, after supper, saying, This cup is new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. What a blessing it is to contemplate this wondrous gift our Redeemer has given to us in the Holy Sacrament. What greater gift can the incarnate God give us than to permit us to eat and drink of his body and of his blood, that we would be strengthened in faith in him? And yet we are tempted to grow lax in our meditation upon this great blessing given to us. It is a blessing, therefore, that this festival of Maundy Thursday is set aside to give special attention to that which Christ Jesus instituted on this day. Indeed, the name, Maundy, comes from the Latin name for this day, Dies Mandati, Day of the Commandment, to remind us that this sacrament is indeed something instituted and commanded by the Son of God, to be a gift for us for the strengthening of faith and for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us consider then, in turn, the words which St. Paul records in Holy Scripture for us concerning the sacrament. We consider first the words at the beginning of this reading. For St. Paul writes, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Now so it comes to us today. Christ gave to the apostles, and they passed it on to us. The apostles continue to speak to us in the sacred scripture, handing on to us what Christ Jesus gave to them. St. Paul began the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians with the words, Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. Now, this is not an indifferent thing to God. It is rooted in the commandment of the holy apostles. The word of an apostle is not just the opinion of man, but St. Peter tells us in his second epistle, No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We know, therefore, that the very words which St. Paul uses to pass on to us the teaching concerning the Lord's Supper are the very words which the Holy Ghost gave him to write. And thus St. Paul wrote, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Now here, St. Paul writes again what the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, proclaimed in their Gospels. There is no figure of speech here. If there was any danger of misunderstanding, there would have been further explanation in one of the four accounts of the Lord's Supper. Instead, in every instance, those writers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit make it clear that the bread is the body of Christ, and the wine is the blood of Christ. It is not for us to understand how God miraculously causes this to occur. Rather, we trust that His Word brings this about when we celebrate the Holy Sacrament according to Christ's institution. It is as Luther wrote in his large catechism, "With this word you can strengthen your conscience and declare, 'Let 100,000 devils, with all the fanatics, rush forward and say, how can bread and wine be Christ's body and blood? Still I know that all the spirits and scholars put together have less wisdom than the divine majesty has in his little finger. Here we have Christ's words, 'Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you, this is the new covenant in my blood.' Here we shall take our stand and see who dares to instruct Christ and alter what he has spoken. It is true indeed that if you take the word away from the element or view them apart from the word, you have nothing but ordinary bread and wine. But if the words remain, as is right and necessary, then in virtue of them, they are truly the body and blood of Christ. For we have it from the lips of Christ. So it is. He cannot deceive or lie." The blessed mystery of the sacrament of the altar, wherein Christ gives us his body and blood, is a thing to be adored, not a problem to be solved. Now, just as some try to introduce doubt concerning the meaning of the words of institution, others have dared to change the elements. There is great danger here. The elements which Jesus gave us are natural bread and natural wine. The words we are to use are the proper words of institution. The words can be spoken or the words can be sung. This is a free thing. But let us never even dream of altering Christ's holy words of institution. If we do not use those words which are handed down to us, how can we be sure God will attach his grace to it? Again, let us use natural bread and natural wine, not substituting grape juice or non-alcoholic wine for the sacrament. If we change the elements from those which Christ instituted, can we be sure he will grant his grace there? After all, we confess, the church is the congregation of saints in which the gospel is rightly taught and the sacraments rightly administered. We must not deviate from that which Christ instituted. As John Gerhardt, one of the great teachers of our confession, once observed, "Accordingly, since the holy evangelists, like St. Paul, mention no other external elements than bread and wine in describing the institution of the Lord's Supper, since Christ used and sanctified no other element for this sacrament, since no place in the Holy Scripture which treats of the Lord's Supper mentions even a single other element, since it befits the true disciples of Christ to abide by his ordinance and institution, since the promise of Christ concerning the sacramental reception of his holy body and blood is expressly dependent upon the bread and wine, and finally, since bread and wine are the essential elements of the Holy Lord's Supper, it follows that under no circumstances can or should one substitute other elements, which might be imagined to be comparable, in place of bread and wine. Consider the matter carefully, therefore, if someone would offer you something other than what Christ has instituted. It is only right and safe that we would cling to the Word of God in such a matter, and indeed in all matters." Let's turn then to the next portion of St. Paul's words for us tonight. For he writes, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This is parallel to our Lord's commandment to receive the sacrament in remembrance of him. The celebration and reception of the sacrament of the altar draws our hearts and minds to contemplate what Christ suffered for us, that we would receive the forgiveness of our sins. Through faith in him, we proclaim that the Son of God assumed a human nature, suffered and died for us and all mankind. At his crucifixion, we read, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." It is as St. John declares in his first epistle, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood, and is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son." Baptism, the Lord's Supper, the Word, all these testify to our redemption in Christ Jesus, and through these means, the Lord creates faith which looks to Christ and thus receives the gift of salvation. For they are the testimony of God, not the testimony of men. And if we proclaim our Lord's death through receiving the sacrament, surely this is something we eagerly and often do. We should not see the sacrament as something occasional, but as a regular central point of the divine service. Certainly this was the view of our fathers in the faith, for they confessed, "We hold one communion every holy day, and also other days. When any desire the sacrament, it is given to such as ask for it." Let us consider, then, the final words of St. Paul from tonight's epistle reading. For St. Paul writes, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Since the communion is the body and blood of the Son of God, it is not a thing to be taken lightly. If misused, one sins not against bread and wine, but against the body and blood of Christ. If a person is impenitent, or is not in doctrinal agreement with those around them, or denies the doctrine of the real presence of Christ's body and blood in the sacrament, then they should not come to the communion. But our worthiness is not based on any holiness in us. Rather, it is as we read in the Large Catechism, "Of course, it is true that those who despise the sacrament and lead unchristian lives receive it to their harm and damnation. To such people, nothing can be good and wholesome, just as when a sick person willfully eats and drinks what is forbidden them by the physician. But those who feel their weakness, who are anxious to be rid of it and desire help, should regard and use the sacrament as a precious antidote against the poison in their systems. For here in the sacrament, you receive from Christ's lips the forgiveness of sins, which contains and conveys God's grace and Spirit with all his gifts, protection, defense, and power against death and the devil, and all evils." If we are weak in faith and pray for strengthening, let us come. If we are burdened by the sin that still wells up in us and desire that God would cleanse us, let us come. If we believe Christ's word that this sacrament is his holy body and blood, and desire to eat and drink forgiveness in him, let us come to the holy sacrament. We come to God broken and sinful. He heals us and credits Christ's righteousness to us. This is the sacrament of the night our Lord was betrayed. Even this he suffered for our salvation. Our God is with us. He is present in that consecrated sacrament. Our God is not far away from us. He is here, upon the altar, in the hand at distribution, received orally in the communion. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who trust in him. It is right that we pour out our prayer to Christ, the Lamb of God, after the consecration, for here we honor the one who comes in his body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and wine for our salvation. It is as one of our hymn writers wrote, "A precious food is this indeed. It never fails us in our need, a heavenly manna for our soul, until we safely reach our goal." Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, who hast left unto us in a wonderful sacrament a memorial of thy passion, Grant, we beseech thee, that we may so use this sacrament of thy body and blood, that the fruits of thy redemption may continually be manifest in us. Thou who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.